Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is Putting Feet to the Truth, How to Pray for Others and Ourselves. The text is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 1. The concept that the President's put forth this year of putting feet to truth is a wonderful biblical concept. The more I look at it, the more I read Scripture, the more things I see that I need to be doing. And we want to look at just one of those things this morning. We could say that part of biblical truth is the admonition to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says it this simply: pray without ceasing, without interruption. Stay in constant contact with God. We're not only taught to constantly pray, but to put feet to these biblical truths. And this indicates to us two extremely important truths. First, we must pray. It might be embarrassing for most Christians if the sum total of their prayer life could somehow or another be displayed for others to see, because I think there's a general weakness in our communication with God. The overwhelming thought that the Creator of all the universe has made Himself available to us at all times, and yet we are so careless about our relationship in prayer with Him. You know, this information requires us not just to pray, but to participate. And I think this may be something that keeps most of us from praying as much as we ought to pray, because prayer is not just issuing forth conversation with God. It's bringing us into participation with God. And oftentimes requires that we do something in order to see the results of the prayers that we've prayed. In this little book of Colossians, I want to use the Apostle Paul as an example. I want you to get a hold of an overwhelming fact. In the writings of the Apostle Paul, he either prays or mentions prayer over 250 times. And if you were to attribute to him the book of Hebrews, which some do and some don't, 300 times. How powerful is that? A man who prays or mentions prayer almost 300 times in just his portion of the Word of God. This prayer that he's prayed for the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, I want to just take the heart out of it and look at it for a few minutes, because it teaches us some very important things. It teaches us how to pray for others and ourselves. Have you ever thought about that? A how-to passage. How are we to pray for other people? And how are we to pray for ourselves? What if you understand this morning? What if this scripture catches hold of you? Guess what? It's going to require that you do something. As is true of most sermons and spiritual gatherings such as this, some of you will catch hold of a truth today, and that truth may very well change your life. Others will leave here just like he came in, not fully grasping what it means to participate with God in the area of prayer. My request to you, if you can see this truth this morning, put feet to that truth. Pray for yourself. Pray for those who minister to you in this institution. Pray for your family. Particularly pray for those in the dorm room with you. And if you're not in the dorm, you're at home, pray for your family. put feet to your prayers. There's specific things you need to talk to God about. There's specific things that you need to ask Him for, and He will ask you to participate in those things. So that's really important. This little book of Colossians was founded by Epaphras from Ephesus, which is about 100 miles west of Colossae. He was probably converted when Paul was preaching in Ephesus. He held a pastorate there for some 3 years, the longest he stayed any one place. And yet he never visited the church in Colossae. But he spent his time in prison praying. The Apostle Paul spent a great deal of time in prison. What are you going to do productive locked up in prison? Well, Paul found out. He found out that prison might keep his physical body from being where he wanted it to be, but it couldn't quieten his prayers. That's why he mentions prayer so many times in the Scripture the Holy Spirit had him pen for us. And he also found out that prison couldn't keep him from his pen, his ability to write the Scripture that God had given him through inspiration. We know about his prison letters, but I want to read one of his prison prayers for you. And I'd like to use that as a guideline for our prayers for ourselves and for others that we come in contact with. Let's read verse 9 through verse 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. As Paul is there in prison at Rome, he's thinking about the churches he's been involved with. He's thinking about the pastors that are pastoring those churches. He's thinking about the Christians that he's met all through his journeys. And I'm sure he's probably thinking about some lost people who did not take advantage of the salvation message that was preached by the Apostle Paul. But the first thing he says to us in verse 9 when he's praying for others and for ourselves is to pray for their spiritual vision, that they might be able to see things from a spiritual perspective, to receive the truth, taking in or being filled with knowledge. Think about this. Can you see the world from spiritual eyes? Well, you don't pray very well if you don't. You don't understand very much about what life's all about if you can't see it from spiritual knowledge. Knowing what God has taught us, to know it fully, to be filled completely, we've got to take it in. There's some things you have to learn in this book of truth, because remember, we're putting feet to truth. There's some things you have to learn in order to participate in those things. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to many of those Jews that believed on Him, if you'll be My disciples indeed, you'll continue in My word. And if you continue in My word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. In that wonderful gathering where there'd been a great conversion take place of many people, The Lord Jesus said, I have given you the truth, and the truth is in process of being completed. That's the Holy Scripture. And if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. How much truth do you know? How many debates are there among Christians about what's right and wrong? How many arguments there are about what we can do and what we can't do? How many divisions of doctrines have men created so that we'll follow one system of doctrine? How divided Christianity is. Jesus said, look, if you'll continue in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And I want you to be filled with the knowledge of truth. Exactly what does that mean? It means, first of all, that we would receive that truth out of the Scripture. And second, that we would realize the truth. Look at this verse 9 again. Understanding the knowledge of His will. Why is it that so many Christians have so much trouble finding God's will for their life? You say, boy, that's complicated. That's not complicated. You've got a book that expresses to you His will. And yet we refuse to follow the book, and we're just looking for something that we can do that would suit our fancy. I remember when God was dealing with me about going into the ministry. I fought that for a long time, almost 3 years. I thought I could give enough money, help other preachers, help churches, but I didn't see myself as a preacher. But all of a sudden, His will came through to me, and I had to change everything in my life. The light came on. I saw that God had a specific mission for me, and it was entirely different from the mission my parents had planned for me, my father had planned for me with the business he owned and operated. But I found the truth. When I first read this little book of 1 Thessalonians, and I heard Paul say, pray without ceasing. My first thought was, I need to go get my Greek New Testament and find out what that word without ceasing means. Because anytime there's a passage of Scripture that challenges you to do something you don't want to do, or either you don't know how to do, you start looking for a way out of it. Well, I found out that in the Greek, without ceasing means without ceasing. Wasn't anything unique or different about it. Well, I went through the normal process of life. I was raised in a Christian family. We always prayed at meals. We'd say the blessing. And then, from a little boy, I was taught to say my prayers when I went to bed. And they were pretty short. And they were easy to memorize. So there wasn't any problem with saying those nighttime prayers for a little boy. Now, I want you to let this soak in just a minute. When are we supposed to pray? Well, I thought four times a day is pretty good. If I got three meals in a day, I'd get those three prayers in, and then I'd have my little prayer, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Done. Through praying. But then this verse in 1 Thessalonians got a hold of me back when I was in school. Pray without ceasing. The ability to be in constant communication with God. I recently got a survey question asking, how much time do you pray? Well, now I could have answered that easily 35 years ago. But it's not so easy today, because I have learned that God is always there, and that as long as I'm living a life that pleases Him, He's always listening to my prayers. So all day I'm praying. If something comes up I don't understand, I quietly say in my spirit or mind, God, help me. Help me to see this. Give me a Bible principle that I can apply to this. I wonder how many of us that are Christians that have this great privilege and opportunity have realized the truth that we can pray all the time. Not just when we're in trouble. Not just when we're asking for something we'd like to have, but all the time. He said this is the key to knowledge and wisdom. That is facts and how to use them. The Bible is filled with facts. Wisdom is the ability to make application of those facts in your life. Why do we not see so many powerful Christians that are turning the world upside down for the Lord today? Are they in constant communication with God? I'll tell you, being in constant communication with God will sure help you battle the carnal nature of man and sin. Because you can't talk to God and be practicing sin. That's a simple truth. Do you put feet to that truth? Are you in constant communication with God? And then he goes on and says, relate to truth, giving out in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's why the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you will know my truth and you will apply that truth, you'll be free. Part of them said, we are free. We're the sons of Abraham. Now you're trying to get us into one of those narrow, restrictive religions. Mind you, these were not lost people. These were people that had just believed on the Lord Jesus. I wonder how many of those kind of people there might be here today that are not giving out the truth, not relating to truth, so that they have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The ability to use the facts of God and spiritual understanding is a very fascinating term. It simply means the ability to prioritize life. Why is it so hard for us? Because we know what we want. We know where we want to go. We know what we want to do. So our priorities are ours, not God's. Pray for their spiritual vision. Hearing and doing the understanding of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you're not learning spiritual things every day, you're not walking with God. You're not realizing the power that God's entrusted you with in your ability to talk to Him constantly. But secondly, in verse 10, he says, pray for their and for your spiritual vitality. The life of a Christian is an excited, moving life. There's something going on. It's not like the monks do in the monasteries where they put on their long robes and they sit and they meditate and do nothing else. That's not the Christian life. You've got to have spiritual vitality. Look at verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The walk of the Christian life. We pray, we read the Bible, the truth, we put feet to that truth, and we grow spiritually, and we walk through the Christian life. You might ask yourself a question this way. How many people are becoming Christians today because of the way you walk with God? How many people are you challenging with your life with God, your spiritual life? The walk of the Christian life, walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Are you walking in such a way as to please God, worthy of what He's done for you? He's given you eternal life if you're born again. He's given you His Son. And therefore, we should walk to please Him. Well, there are just many scriptures I could give you here, but we walk to benefit His name. We're called Christians. It's pretty sad in the world today to see some of the things that people call themselves Christians are doing. I don't know whether they misunderstand Scripture or whether their will to do what they want to do is just stronger than God's will in their life because they're not in constant communication with Him. So we live to benefit His name. We live to bring pleasure to Him. I wonder how many of us got up this morning and say, Lord, what can we do for You today? How can we bring pleasure to You in our relationship with You? How can I answer this question? How can I solve this problem? How can I take care of these pressures? When you have the most omniscient being in the universe at your disposal, you have all that information at your disposal. So it's the walk of the Christian life. And then it's the works of the Christian life. Fruitful in every good work. The walk is our direction. The fruit produced in that walk is our devotion to God. If we're devoted to Him, then what we do in this life brings glory to Him and brings other people to Christ. That's our dedication. And then the wonder of the Christian life, increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, you know, we'll never know all about God. I get a little overwhelmed sometimes with the theologians that have all the answers to all the questions. Because God is bigger than our mind. I had an Old Testament professor that used to say to us, you know, if you understand all about God, and you can categorize all He is and everything He does, then your God is no bigger than your brain, and you're in big trouble. How about this wonder of the Christian life, increasing in the knowledge of God? As you experience God, you grow. The knowledge of Him and His will brings more knowledge to you. It's a progressive thing. It's accumulative. Just like Romans 1 tells us that the sins of man is accumulative, the knowledge of God is accumulative, and it draws you closer to God. And this is the process we call sanctification. And it's clear in the Scripture. Our devotion. Romans 15:6, that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How devoted are you to God? I'm afraid so many people are just playing at being Christians. So many people don't grasp the full impact of what it means to be allowed to talk to the Creator of the universe. No doubt there are many of you that would love to have an audience with the President this afternoon. Frankly, I don't think he's talking to anybody right now. I think this country's in one of the biggest messes it's ever been in. And I think the best approach would be some honest prayer from God's people to straighten out the mess we're in. Because we didn't get in this mess as a nation following God's will. So the last thing in verse 11, listen to this. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now that gets difficult for us. You're to pray for their spiritual victory. Their spiritual victory and our spiritual victory are your spiritual victory. How do we overcome the difficult circumstances of this life with joy? Look at Paul, these times he was in prison, when they're singing and he's witnessing. The early days of Paul, he had some struggles like we all have. Those things I would do, I do not. And those things I wouldn't do, I yet do. I find then a law within me. When I do good, evil is ever present with me. Thank the Lord, Paul got out of the 7th chapter of Romans and into the 8th chapter. And he found a new law for those that walk after Christ Jesus don't have the same pressures and problems, or they handle them better. They would have pressures and problems, but they have the ability to handle them. Pray for their spiritual victory. Look at the scope of it. Listen carefully to this verse 11. Strengthened with all might. Would you like to have the power of God in your life? That's what the scripture is talking about. Strengthened with all might and all patience. Boy, that's a hard one. How hard it is for us to be patient when we're by nature aggressive. How many times, like Peter, we run in front of the Lord? We need patience. And we need long-suffering. We need the ability to put up with a world which is walking contrary to the God we love and serve. We need the ability to put up with those who laugh at us and think Christianity's funny. The kind of things that are being produced in your generation are appalling to me. A new movie coming out on religion, I saw the advertisement for on television. It's blasphemy. Talking about the foolishness of religion. Back a few years ago, they had a Hollywood actor play God in a movie called Oh God. Blasphemy. But the scope of this is that we can be in a right relationship with God, strengthened with all might and all patience and long suffering, and at the same time be joyful. Now, I'm going to tell you, if Paul didn't understand this, he's in big trouble, because he spent a lot of his life in problems and in prison. Yet he was always happy. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. If you get the spiritual victory, sin won't rule you. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the scope of it. It's broad to have the right relationship with God, to put feet to His truth. The secret, according to His glorious power. Philippians 4:12 puts it this way, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There's nothing you should do that you cannot do with the power of God on your side. Oh, if the Christian world would learn that and apply that. And then the real principles of the Christian life are in verse 9 through 12. Those verses I just read you. Here are the real principles of the Christian life. For those who walk in truth, for those who are in constant communication with God. Verse 9, they know the will of God. Verse 10, they walk in the way of God. Verse 11, they work the works of God. Verse 11a, they wait on the wisdom of God unto all patience, it says. In verse 11, they suffer wrong for God. In verse 11, they rejoice in the wealth of God, which is joyfulness, a happy, at peace soul. And in verse 12, they're thankful for the wonders of God. Well, how do you put feet to truth? God says you can and you should pray without ceasing. And He'll share with you His power. And He'll give you patience and the ability to suffer what we all have to suffer through in this life. What a powerful passage of Scripture. What a simple truth for those of us who know the Lord. I challenge you to put this truth in your life and put feet to it today. Change your prayer life. Be in constant communication with God and watch what He does for you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.